There's a point during the involvement with the narcissist where you go so deep into your own head that you sort of see the world a little differently than everyone else. It's that feeling you get when you're so oppressed in your relationship that most of your dialogue becomes internal. You don't really talk to very many people about much of anything at all. And you start to see through it all. And everyone around you, they kind of seem a little bit artificial. When you look at people who aren't being actively manipulated and controlled by a narcissist, well, their life problems, they might seem almost unreal to you. Because you're so deep in your head that you almost can't find your empathy anymore. You might have even forgotten how to talk about yourself or your interests. And it might be so significant that you actually don't even know what your interests are. This is when you know for sure that the narcissist's manipulation and control have shut you down, silenced you completely. You only speak as much as absolutely necessary. And rarely, if ever, does your conversation really even involve yourself at all, at least not on an intimate personal level. You sit there trying to look okay on the outside. You act like nothing is wrong because that's what the narcissist wants you to do, and that's the only way you know how to get through it. You pretend that your life is okay. You feel like a little bit of a fraud as you sort of still try to project that image of that life you wish you had to the outside world, rather than the private HE double hockey sticks you're actually living in. Meanwhile, you live with constant threats of abandonment, either physically or emotionally. The narcissist threatens to leave you on a consistent basis. Or they threaten they're going to stop loving you. Or they say that if you keep doing or not doing whatever it is that they're complaining about, well, then they'll just stop caring about you entirely. Or they just tell you, go ahead and move out if you want. Go live a separate life. See if I care. But at that point, you're so incredibly entrenched that there's not a whole lot you can do. Might find yourself feeling emotionally drained, exhausted, and pretty much numb at this point. And I mean, who could blame you? But you find yourself asking, how did I get here? You might have previously been warm, friendly, even extroverted in some cases. But after being in a toxic relationship with a narcissist, you find that you're nowhere near the person you used to be. And then you wonder, is it really possible that the narcissist has changed me so much? What led to my losing myself and becoming a shell of who I used to be? Well, let's talk about that. First, narcissists make effective communication nearly impossible. As important as communication is in any relationship, when we've dealt with narcissists, when we've been involved with narcissists in relationships, even the most skilled communicators can feel helpless and handicapped when it comes to being understood. I mean, I literally communicate for a living. And I was actively struggling with this in my toxic relationships. Narcissists inevitably refuse to understand us, especially when what we're saying is not something like, you're so amazing. For example, try telling a narcissist exactly how you feel about the way they treat you, about how they belittle you, invalidate you, make you feel like you don't matter, all that good stuff. Watch how they twist the conversation around. In some of the most extreme cases, you're gonna find yourself actually apologizing to the narcissist for not thinking they're perfect and for having the nerve to even suggest otherwise. I like to call that the narcissistic flip, but you might know it as deflection. Of course, either way, when we go through years of this, or even months in some cases, not to mention the fact that narcissists often isolate their victims from others who might actually offer some support, well, we sort of forget how to communicate in a way. We stop feeling like we can or even should talk about ourselves, in part because we've been conditioned to believe that we have nothing of value to say or offer. Narcissists also condition us to believe that we don't have anything of value to contribute. So, you know how I mentioned earlier that I don't really feel comfortable telling people about myself and how during my toxic relationship, it was nearly impossible for me to do so? Well, that was the case because the narcissist in my life, beginning in childhood, had made it very clear to me that no one wanted to hear what I had to say. No one wanted to hear about me. In other words, I had been conditioned to believe that nothing about me was interesting or even worth hearing about. Now, this situation is very common for survivors of narcissistic abuse. We believe we're not good enough and that no one really wants to hear what we have to say anyway. So when we do speak up, we tend to keep it short and to the point, at least when it relates to ourselves and our own opinions or beliefs, if we say anything at all. Next up, narcissistic abuse leads to mental health issues. See, when we go through narcissistic abuse, we might find ourselves dealing with depression, we might develop other issues, various compulsive behaviors, maybe an eating disorder, substance abuse problem, anxiety, etc., because sometimes we sort of try to self-medicate to deal with our issues. We could have flashbacks or panic attacks, and we will most definitely deal with a whole bunch of self-doubt. Some of us might even experience suicidal thoughts. And in the worst cases, some people find themselves seeking or even carrying out the abuse they experienced as a child. Now, on the flip side of that, you might go so far in the other direction that you're a different kind of unhealthy. For example, an abused child who grows up to be a doormat parent, as in allowing your kids to become spoiled and run the show. But it's such a fine line, isn't it? Narcissists actively trigger your trauma response. The narcissist's goal is always to be in control, and of course, as you know, they have no limits to which they will not stoop to get what they want. And since most people who get involved with narcissists report that they've had some form of trauma in childhood, whether related to abusive parents or some other kind of trauma, you see where I'm going with this, right? The fact is that it's your history of trauma in relationships that actually opens you up to being triggered when the narcissist starts playing their typical mind games. So when you're actively dealing with their abuse, you might not notice that you have developed heightened reactions to various common relationship issues. So you might be triggered over something small, like an innocently used phrase that used to mean something awful for you. For example, one of my clients shared a little dog whistling experience she had. Her narcissistic mother would always say, "Well, who are you trying to impress?" So when she was later in a relatively healthy relationship, the same phrase uttered by her partner triggered her in major ways, and it caused her to sort of revert to that little girl she used to be who never really felt good enough. We might also withdraw and become unresponsive when triggered by our old issues, which obviously affects our ability to communicate, but we also almost always feel an aversion to conflict. This leads us to have an ability to sort of talk through our issues, especially when we feel judged by the person we're communicating with, or we feel like they're not on our side. And this is where we get to my next point: narcissists foster self-doubt. See, narcissists have a way of digging deep to find the most painful issues you have, and then they poke at them. This is only part of the reason that most of us end up living with lingering doubt about how people in our lives feel about us. It's also part of the reason that many of us end up doubting people's authenticity around us, especially when the narcissists in our lives include romantic partners in the past. And thanks to the fact that many of us have never felt loved unconditionally by our parents or anyone else, we often find ourselves having a hard time accepting any love at all. We're suspicious of people who even try to offer it to us, and we pretty much need repeated reassurance of the fact that someone cares about us. This, of course, also pushes people away from us and isolates us even further, which makes it a lot harder to even talk about yourself at all without feeling insecure. Life with a narcissist leaves you feeling constantly scattered and confused. This sort of fog that you're living in, it means that you're easier to control and you're easier to manipulate. See, the stress and sort of primal mode that you're in during the depths of the abuse, it makes you feel kind of crazy. And you begin to doubt your perception once the full effect of the gaslighting has kicked in. You might even feel dependent on the narcissist to tell you what you see and think in some cases. And now, not only are they controlling your actions, but also your thoughts and feelings. Oh yeah. Next up, narcissists use your fears against you. They know what you're afraid of, and they use your fears to maintain full control. Whether you realize it or not, chances are that early on the narcissist established that you could and would be moved by your fear of losing them or your fear of being alone. Not only is that the most common human fear in existence, but narcissists are known to actively exploit this in their romantic relationships, and even in family relationships and other types of relationships, friendships, etc. See, this works especially well when you're someone who has also experienced childhood trauma or abuse. As when this has happened to us, we tend to hold on really to anyone who claims to love us for dear life. We spend our whole lives looking for that. And if you're anything like I was, one of your biggest fears might just be that you'll be the last one to know when your relationship is over. See, you're afraid of being humiliated in a situation where everyone knows what's going on but you. You're the only one who really doesn't know what's happening in your relationship. For a lot of us, we also worry that some toxic person in our lives might have been right about us all along. We actually are the complete piece of trash we've done our best to avoid being for our whole lives. We wonder, are we doomed to not being good enough, or are we otherwise doomed to being deficient forever? Well, this leads us to something that if we're not careful and if we don't recognize it, it could pretty much keep us stuck forever. We get deeper and deeper into the trauma bond. We become fully enmeshed with the narcissist. They control us through the active infliction of their perception onto us. They teach us, and they make sure that we don't forget, that their needs matter more than our own. Their needs are always more important than our own. They make us feel like we aren't even real people, and that our feelings and our thoughts and our ideas, they're not relevant and they're not worth expressing, not to mention worth actually hearing or implementing. Well, that of course prevents us from ever reaching our true potential. As we lose ourselves a little more each day, it changes us. And it changes us in a way that could limit us forever if we allow it. So how do we find ourselves again after this? How do we remember? Who are we? Who are you? Do you remember? So let's talk about detachment and the art of detachment. What exactly does that mean? Detachment is an intentional choice that you make when you're trying to pull yourself away from a toxic person. You have to make the choice to decide logically, I'm no longer going to be a part of this relationship. That doesn't mean that right then at that moment you're going to feel completely detached. That's just where it all begins. You have to begin to consciously not allow yourself to get sucked back into the narcissist's games. It's really difficult. You have to decide that you're no longer going to fall for the narcissist's manipulation tactics. Not gaslighting, not projection, not belittling. You can't fall for any of it. You have to decide that you will no longer accept nonsense answers and made-up stories as truth. You have to decide that you will stand up for yourself or you will walk away when you're dealing with a narcissist who's engaging in these games. And even though you know that some of these things worked on you in the past, you have to decide it's not going to work anymore. So the first step to detachment is deciding to do it. In order to actually be detached, where you really feel like you're no longer connected to that person, you have to sort of fake it till you make it. And I know that phrase is not really loved in our community, but it's kind of true. What I mean is, you have to kind of go through the motions before you really get what you're doing. You feel me? So in order to sort of protect yourself emotionally, you focus on the logic of it all. You focus on the facts. You use your cognitive abilities to stay logical and for the time being, keep your emotion out of it. Now you will get to a point in recovery when you will want to connect your emotions to your logic, of course. But right now, we're just trying to keep you protected so that you can detach from that narcissist. Remember, we feel addicted to narcissists and toxic people who we've loved, very much like you would feel addicted to a drug. It affects the same part of your brain that drug addiction does. You're going to be emotionally crushed. You're going to feel a great deal of stress. And you're going to feel really confused by everything your partner or family member has done. Now, in many cases, you're going to want to start practicing this detachment even before you leave the narcissist. So if you haven't left yet, this is still something you can and should do. It sort of helps you, well, detach mentally and emotionally from this person so that you can start to imagine your life new. You can start to imagine your life different. The hardest part of this is that you're going to have to start ignoring the signals that your brain is naturally sending you. These are like emotional triggers that come from things that the narcissist is doing or not doing in your life. A lot of people tell me they want to check the narcissist's social media every 5 minutes, or they want to text them and check in with them, or they want to track them on their phones. If you're already separated, you might be thinking about wondering who that person's been dating, or you might just want to give them a call just to get some closure. You probably find yourself talking about the narcissist in different support groups or on forums online. And that's really a big part of why we stay stuck, because we feel like we can't really resist those urges. They feel almost primal to us. Those types of messages are coming from that part of ourself that is primal, that part that doesn't really understand the logic of it all. This is why we have to really step up our thinking game when we're trying to recover from narcissists. Our emotions won't allow us to overcome this type of abuse ourselves. We need to bring in the logic, because the logic is the part that looks at the facts and the things that are actually happening in the moment. But you're going to need a little bit of help with letting go of a narcissist. And the first thing is going to be the willingness to change your mind, the willingness to have the intention and try to stick to it. You have to be willing to let go. You have to be willing to tell yourself no when you want to look at their social media or make a phone call or send a text or stalk them in some other way. And the next thing you have to do is you have to educate yourself on what a narcissist is. So of course we know what a narcissist is, but in case you don't, take some time, watch some videos, read some articles, find out exactly what it is that you're dealing with if you haven't already, and then use that information and that knowledge. Learn about the manipulation tactics, learn about the psychology of a narcissist, learn about the spectrum of narcissism, the whole cluster B spectrum. Take some time. Figure out the narcissist and how their brain works and how they work. And once you've done that, not only does it get a little easier to deal with the narcissist because they are exhibiting identifiable behaviors that are seen in all narcissists, this will help you disconnect emotionally a little bit by itself. Once you've educated yourself about narcissism, you're going to also want to educate yourself about yourself and the reasons that you found yourself in this position in the first place. Another good reason to educate yourself is that it's not really fair or safe to assume that every guy or girl is like the one you were just with. Narcissism and all of the cluster B disorders can be very extreme, and while the narcissist in your life probably made you feel crazy or not good enough or controlling or whatever, it's really important that you sort of overcome those false beliefs about yourself. You have to understand narcissists can't take responsibility, so they're going to do anything they can to avoid it. Of course, that includes blaming you or anyone else who's near them. By figuring out exactly how a narcissist works, you can logically move through things even if you are still in emotional pain. Does that make sense? So you use the information that you gather as a way to sort of turn in the way that you're thinking, a way to sort of change lanes, so to speak. You stop thinking of you and the narcissist as us, and you start seeing yourself as an individual. You start worrying about your own safety, your own well-being, your own freaking sanity. And you start looking toward your own future. It's sort of like you're going at no contact with them just emotionally, on an emotional, internal level. And they'll notice it, I promise you. But if you stick it out, you'll be able to detach fully when it's time. When and if you're ready. By protecting yourself with your understanding of the logic of the psychology of all of these parts of the narcissistic personality, you're protecting yourself with your understanding of the situation. You can put your emotions to the side as you figure out the psychology of it. And in my experience, I found that knowing the psychology helped me to identify those behaviors, helped me to go, okay, that's gaslighting. Okay, that's projection, whatever it was. When I could see it in that way and I could identify and label the behaviors, it took the sting out of them for me. I almost started to feel sorry for the narcissist when I could see how textbook the manipulations were, almost. A few quick tips for detachment. Remember that you don't want to ever expect the narcissist to change, and demanding that the narcissist will change is just an exercise in frustration. So don't waste your energy or your time. Understand, the narcissist could change, sure. But unless the narcissist chooses to change of his or her own volition, it's not going to happen. And in my experience, and in the experience of many other people I've interviewed and worked with, they don't change because they never think anything is wrong. And I know that's painful, but it's true. The next thing you need to do is make sure you don't try to play the narcissist, play games with the narcissist. Certainly, it could be satisfying to take the narcissist and twist him around a little and give him a taste of their own medicine, right? But doing that is just going to cause you a great deal of stress, and it is, in many cases, going to have the narcissist rising up against you. It's just not worth it. It's like talking to a brick wall. You can't expect it to hear you or change, but you can certainly bang your head against it and wind up with injuries of your own. Remember that there's nothing wrong with you. You shouldn't have any shame or doubt about yourself because you do need to walk away from this person. You're in a relationship that's toxic and it's destructive to your life and yourself. Not only do these types of relationships affect us mentally, but also physically, it's really important that you try to develop a really rational perspective of the situation and that you don't stay focused on those things that are out of your control. Like I said, even if you can't leave, you can still sort of distance yourself emotionally. But don't doubt who you're dealing with. Don't question yourself. Make sure that you take responsibility for your own happiness, your own peace, your own well-being, your own fulfillment. The narcissist cannot and will not do that for you. In fact, no one will. The narcissist wants you to stay depressed and sad and beaten down because that makes it easier to control you. But now you can take back that control, even if you can't leave yet. You can take back the control and make it your own again. You gave them control over your feelings, your thoughts, your behaviors, your happiness, your well-being, all of those things, certainly without realizing it. But on some level, you gave them that control. Maybe you were manipulated into it. Chances are that you were. But it's time that you start meeting your own needs, and you do that by making different choices, different behaviors, a new perspective, and by acting from that new perspective of empowerment. Know this, you cannot change, fix, save, rescue, or love anyone enough to force them to love you or to be nice to you. The narcissist is a limited person. They don't have the ability to see you for the amazing person that you are. And unfortunately, those narcissistic glasses they're wearing won't let them see you that way. It's really their loss, even though it doesn't feel like that just yet. You have to remember that no matter what happens, the narcissist will never think you're good enough long term. Certainly, the love bombing will come here and there. Certainly, you might get put up on a pedestal now and then. But no matter how much you do for them, it's never going to be enough, and they're always going to ask for more. You can compromise forever. You can give up everything you want and never take care of any of your needs. You can bend over backward for them. It won't matter. The more you do those things, the more ungrateful, the more entitled, the more demanding, the more pushy they will become. Essentially, you're going to waste your energy on a person like this if you keep doing it. So think about stopping. Think about taking back your power and not letting them have it anymore. Make sure you don't have high expectations when it comes to the narcissist. I want to tell you to raise your expectations, but recognize that the narcissist will never rise to the occasion. So keep your expectations low when it comes to dealing with one. Understand that they are limited people. They don't have the ability to empathize with you or even really care about you, especially when they're angry at you. They lack object constancy, which means that they can't love you and be angry at you in the same moment. So in those moments when they are angry at you, they really dislike you or sometimes even hate you as a result of whatever they're feeling. No matter how much guilt or crocodile tears or extreme hypersensitivity they seem to throw your way, don't fall for it. Just remember, this is a pathological person who is going to continue to hurt you if you allow them to. It's time for you to take back your mind, your emotions, yourself. When you can, spend as much time away from the narcissist as possible if you haven't already left, and find a support group that will help you. Maybe this involves friends or family members, or even a local support group that you find through meetup.com, or maybe you get involved with a support group online, such as the Spanily, which you can learn more about that at queenbeing.com/span. It's free and very supportive. Our coaches and our admin team are also survivors, and they do everything they can to keep the group safe for you every day. We have admins from around the world to make sure that we're covered most of every single day and night. Ultimately, what you're trying to do when you're detaching from a narcissist is to try to stop letting them hurt you, stop letting them affect you, and to end the relationship, whether in reality or in your mind. Know that when you stop reacting, they will start pushing harder many times. That's the narcissistic whirl response we talk about. Like I mentioned in a recent video, when you see them beginning to kind of rile up and act pushier and more entitled and more ungrateful, scream, yell, whatever, that kind of shows that what you're doing is working, because it's them reacting to not getting what they want. It's them reacting to a lack of narcissistic supply, which ultimately is what you must deprive them of if you're ever going to get free. By using the art of detachment in your favor, you can actually take back your power one moment at a time. Every time you don't react, you get a little more powerful. It feels pretty good. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time for you to learn how to do this and make it exactly what it needs to be. Detachment is essentially indifference. That's really difficult for people like us, for empaths. It sort of runs against those beliefs that we've always fundamentally carried within ourselves about love and relationships. But remember, you're in a relationship with someone who is emotionally, verbally, or otherwise abusing you. Someone who attacks you, devalues you, discards you over and over again. Someone who makes you feel like you don't matter. Someone who stands on your head in order to raise up their own insecurities. Someone who's willing to beat you down emotionally and take from you everything that you have, literally or otherwise. Some people would say that a narcissist has no soul. Psychologists will tell you that a narcissist has no empathy. Either way, the perspective from which a narcissist operates is damaging for anyone who gets close to them. It's time for you to stop letting a narcissist destroy you, to detach yourself mentally and emotionally, and to start to move on so that you can heal, take back your life, and take back your power, and become the person you truly want to be. You deserve that, my friend. You know that, right? Please don't forget.
All right, now this brings me to the question of the day. And the question of the day is, can you relate to the feeling of losing yourself and your voice during a toxic relationship with a narcissist? Did you ever forget how to talk about yourself like I did? Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comment section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life, and hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm going to leave for you right there and right there. And while you're here, hit the subscribe button right over there so that we can stay connected and continue together on this healing journey. I'll see you soon.